When it comes to death, mourning, and memory, I find myself turning more and more to poetry or prose, over prose, sorry. Poetry just seems more able to carry the complex, fluid weight of emotions of this makom, this place, this resting spot, this reflecting pool for lives lost and lived. Makom in Hebrew means place, and it also is another name for God. It is a holy place, the makom we stand in now. So now, rather than preach, I thought we would read a few poems together and see what we might find in this makom, this place. I think you have the poems, and I hope you'll take them home. We'll start with Cold Solace by Annabelle Kaufman, who lives in Sonoma County. When my mother died, one of her honey cakes remained in the freezer. I couldn't bear to see it vanish, so it waited, pardoned, in its ice cave behind the metal trays for 2 more years. On my 41st birthday, I chipped it out, a rectangular resurrection, hefted the dead weight in my palm. Before it thawed, I sawed with serrated knife the thinnest of slices, Jewish Eucharist. The amber squares with their translucent panes of walnuts tasted, even toasted, of freezer, of frost. A raisin delicacy delivered up from a deli in the underworld. I yearn to recall life, not death, the still body in her pink nightgown on the bed, how I lay in the shallow cradle of the scattered sheets after they took it away, inhaling her scent one last time. I close my eyes, savor a wafer of sacred cake on my tongue, and try to taste my mother, to discern the message she baked in these loaves when she was too ill to eat them. I love you. It will end. Leave something of sweetness and substance in the mouth of the world. So we begin here because I think this poem is beautifully suggestive of Yizkor, which means memorial or remembrance. In the poem, the speaker remembers her mother, and the process of remembering is painful, full of longing. She says, I yearn to recall life, not death, yet what she calls to mind is her mother's deathbed scene. First, her mother is there in her pink nightgown, then she is gone, leaving the daughter laying in the shallow cradle left in the sheets, clinging to the last traces of her mother's scent. The memory returns because of the taste of the sacred honey cake her mother baked, even when she was too ill to taste it herself, which the daughter has left in the freezer until it's time to celebrate her birthday. Oh, do we miss those we love and lose on days like a birthday? She carefully cuts a piece of the cake, and in eating it serves as a Jewish Eucharist, an act of transubstantiation, to bring her back memories. But it tastes not of love, but of freezer burn, a taste which, disturbing, cannot derail the daughter's effort to recall life, not death. Despite her disappointment, she still tastes the words, I love you. And she understands her mother's lesson to, quote, leave something of sweetness and substance in the mouth of the world. Here we are, remembering our dead. I heard a teaching once, actually by Rabbi Avi Weiss, that during Yizkor, it is as if we can cross over to the other side and touch those we have lost and now remember. For a moment, we might be fooled, and the distance between the world of the living and the dead may not feel as great as we thought. While a feeling is not the same as flesh and blood, these kinds of memories of our lost loved ones that we can taste and discern and embody in our own lives can keep them near. Another poem, Debtors by Jim Harrison. They used to say, we're living on borrowed time. But even when young, I wondered who loaned it to us. In 1948, one grandpa died, stretched tight in a misty oxygen tent. His four sons gathered, his papery hand grasping mine. Only a week before, we were fishing. Now the four sons have all run out of borrowed time, while I'm alive, wondering whom I owe for this indisputable gift of existence. Of course, time is running out. It always has been a creek heading east, the freight of water with its surprising heaviness following the slant of the land, its destiny. What is lovelier than a creek or a riverine thicket? Say it is an unknown benefactor who gave us birds and Mozart, the mystery of trees and water and all living things borrowing time. Would I still love the creek if it lasted forever? The psalmists say, teach us to number our days so that we may attain a heart of wisdom. In other words, embracing our finitude comes wisdom that time is short, running out. There is never enough time, and time is not on our side. Time is like a river running downstream, and our lives straddle the stark reality of fishing with your uncle 1 week and standing by his deathbed the next. We're all living on borrowed time. That's a fact. It's also true that the urgency of the moment, the lub-dub of this heart, this heartbeat, and the fact that it could be our last is what makes the colors of life so vibrant. Quote, say it is an unknown benefactor who gave us birds and Mozart, the mystery of trees and water and all living things borrowing time. Would I still love the creek if I lasted forever? That's the irony of life. All that lives must die. And if it wasn't that way, it wouldn't be brilliant. The Garden of Eden would be a horribly boring place to be after 100 years or so. Think about it. Death is the foil for life. All that lives must die. And without it, life doesn't have a meaning. As Rabbi Michael Robinson used to say, the more you live, the more you lose. And I wouldn't want it any other way. This is one of the great ironies of life. Part of what makes it so precious is that it is so fragile and finite. Now, it's easy to flee this makom, this hard place, yet wisdom is found here. Our losses can teach us to cherish what life we have and live in gratitude for those we love and lose. When we embrace how precious life is, when we see clearly both the gift and the imperative to live life fully now, we are less likely to miss the boat, waking up one day and realizing that what we really wanted, we didn't pursue. Who we were meant to be, we ignored until it was too late. Missing the boat. It is not so much that the boat passed and you failed to notice it. It is more like the boat stopping directly outside your bedroom window, the captain blowing the signal horn, the band playing a rousing march. The boat shouted, waving bright flags, its silver hull blinding in the sunlight. But you had this idea you were going by train. You kept checking the timetable, digging for tracks. And the boat got tired of you, so tired it pulled up the anchor and raised the ramp. The boat bobbed into the distance, shrinking like a toy, at which point you probably realize you would always love the sea. Here we are, tired, hungry, stripped bare of most pretense, raw. What do we see? Have we missed the boat? Is it too late? Can we run and catch it now? Should we leap from the dock and swim for our lives? In the clarity of this moment, do we see a change we need to make to more fully live as we were meant to live in the year ahead? What better way to honor our dead than to live our lives to the fullest? One last poem. Don't worry, it's short. Last Fragment by Raymond Carver. And did you get what you wanted from life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on earth. As some of you may know, Raymond Carver was a drunk most of his life. But in the end, he got sober and fell in love, wrote short stories and poems, and did his best to make amends. He wrote a lot of really great short stories and poems before he got sober, but then he wrote more after. His writing is a living legacy. He is beloved by many, and his act of self-redemption, his act of teshuva, allowed him to claim himself for who he really was, beloved to himself and to others. To call myself beloved and to feel myself beloved on earth. This seems to me a worthy goal for all of us, a makom, a place, a godly space we can strive for. As we call to mind our beloveds, as we try again to taste their essence, may they inspire us to become beloved in our own eyes and in the eyes of those we love. Now in the middle of page 490, we remember with sorrow those whom death has taken from our midst during the past year. Anne Leibowitz, remembered by the congregation. Brenda Lederman, remembered by the congregation. Ernst Slobotsky, remembered by Suzanne Abrams. Bernadette Garam, remembered by Rose Batzdorf. Yanni Bayan, remembered by Albert Bayan. Millie Wool, Dr. Buddy Wool, remembered by Florence Boxerman. Daniel Brown, remembered by Adam Brown. Ira Sokol, remembered by Myrna Childs and Max Childs. Elaine Cohen Leventhal, remembered by Ronnie Campagna. Mary Wilson Farkas, remembered by Siraj Corey. Chuck Corey, remembered by Chris Corey. Martha Ann Maloney, remembered by Rachel Kutcher. Deli Moosen, remembered by Fran Danoff. Louis Lubinsky, remembered by Sori DeVore. Marshall Bedall, remembered by Sherry Fink and Nancy Caldwell. William Thomas, remembered by Diane Chira. Buddy Wool and Millie Wool, remembered by Nancy and Reed Farrick. Ida Flato, remembered by Richard Flato. Leland Edmond, remembered by Lynn Gasser. Bonnie Gelfman, remembered by Janet and Ira Gelfman. Julius Glazer, remembered by Martha Glazer. Cindy Glazer, Bertha Scott, remembered by Ira Glazer. Alice Band, remembered by Don Glickson. Irv Goldberg, remembered by Neil Goldberg. Milton Gordon, remembered by Joel Gordon. Kermit Affner, remembered by Karen Gordon. Myra Greenberg, B. Gold, remembered by Stan Greenberg. Bill Hart, remembered by Sarah Hart. Gail Anderson, remembered by Eva Herschel. Max Hoffenberg, remembered by Flo and Dan Hoffenberg. Knox Horowitz, remembered by Chris Horowitz. Gerald Jackson, remembered by John Jackson. Janice Wiesen, remembered by Warren and Brad Kahn. Robert Thomas, remembered by Robin Kasimov. Stanley Kern, remembered by Aiden Kern, Dana Kern Shore. Beverly Liggett, remembered by Shari Kovner. David Golby, remembered by Merrill Krauss. Ida Lash, remembered by Stephen Lash. Marty Schwartz, remembered by Howard Lasker. Lila Ruth Myers, remembered by Miriam Marlin. Bernice Stern, remembered by Miriam Marlin. Eunice Bridleson, remembered by Britt Matthews. Dr. Ronald Myers, remembered by Neil Myers. Larry Bartlett, remembered by Jamie Newbold. Don Fee, remembered by Susanna Pfeffer. Ruth Modis, remembered by Marcy Plesnik-Marin. Helen Kasavan, remembered by Roseanne Premy. Held Rossoff, remembered by Gail Richard. Milton Schlesinger, remembered by Diane Raphael. William Schaffran, remembered by Margaret Schaffran, Todd, and Brent. Phyllis Levine, remembered by Lira Satloff. Florence Pachter Schulkin, remembered by Mari Schulkin. Anna Soltis, remembered by Bernard Soltis. Toby Spanier, remembered by Larry Spanier. Donald Scott, remembered by Neva Tarur. Nathaniel Watts, remembered by Judy Watts. Joseph Strauss, remembered by Joan Weinstein and John Weinstein. Marjorie Wessler, remembered by Lori Wessler. Sam Zucker, remembered by Maxine Zucker. Taking these dear ones into our hearts with all our beloved, we call them now with reverence. So we're going to now take some time to remember all those we've loved and lost, and then we'll pick up with the service.